Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back for another episode of the Startup Hustle. This is your host today, Matt Watson. Excited to be joined today by Ryan O'Neill, who's the CEO of Curate. We'll learn more about his company, but today we're going to spend most of our time talking about ChatGPT and how you can use it for your business. I know Ryan's been using it for a lot of things. I use it for a lot of things. I'm talking about investing in a company built on ChatGPT. We can talk about that a little bit. Talk about all sorts of cool things for that you can use with ChatGPT. Amazingly, not everybody's used it yet, which kind of surprises me. But today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult. Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably and has a platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Ryan, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here and riff a little bit about ChatGPT.
I am too, but before we get started, I do want to ask you a little more about your background and tell us some more about your business.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a classic accidental founder. I had a lot of little things I tried until my wife and I started a wedding and event floral company in 2013. My wife's a florist, and then I could hack around enough on WordPress to build a site and, you know, set up accounting and do all the basic business stuff. And in the process of us building her company, I realized that there's like this really complicated process for a lot of small business, especially small businesses who actually produce the things that they're creating. And when you're trying to, you know, someone brings you some Pinterest photo and you got to figure out, what do I got to charge for this? And what do I need to be ordering to make sure I can actually do the thing that this person wants done? And so I started creating and taking what was a bunch of hacked together Excel sheets, you know, invoicing softwares, Google Forms, all these things that didn't talk to each other that should have, and started building that. We saw some great growth in the floral industry, have seen some great growth in the catering industry, and we serve small businesses. That's our big thing.
Okay.
We want to empower people to easily connect all the pieces of their small business, from proposals to production to profitability.
When I remember right, one of the challenges you were trying to solve was quoting. Is that like a big part of it? Is quoting and proposals?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it like, if I need floral and I need 20 of these things, like how many roses does it have and how many of these things does it have? And like, how do I keep track of all this?
Yeah.
How do I bid it?
And it's a very integrated process. And
it sounds like simple, but it's not.
Right, exactly. When you break it down, like there's several different types of small businesses. There are retailers who they just basically have to purchase the goods that they're then adding some margin to for profit and handing on those goods. So it gets complicated when you're actually creating some segment of those goods that you're selling, because now not only are you creating them, but you got to be the person to order them, and you got to hire the staff to create those. And if it's, you know, if it's not like a full-time job for some of these staff, you got to coordinate the freelance labor for it. So there's a lot of coordination pieces outside of just the invoice. And that's really where our sweet spot is the details, you know, behind that particular item. The customer just sees, oh, I've got a bridal bouquet or I've got a souffle, but there's so many things behind the scenes that have to happen for that to actually come to life.
Awesome.
Yeah, I imagine the old way was you'd have the florist and all stereotype, you know, you have like this lady that's been doing it for like 30 years and you ask her like, how much should we charge for this? And she's like, I don't know, $200. Right. And that was like the way they did it.
Oh, it really is. Well, so the old way is I have a book, right? Like we have this book that was printed 7 years ago with all of the pre-selected things and we kind of price them out and then bump up the price, you know, every year. But then Pinterest, Instagram, slash technology comes along and just disrupts like how everybody's been doing this stuff. And so, but you're exactly right. It shifted to that. And it was very much like, it's $200, you know, for it. And that can work. It can save time doing that. And there are actually some techniques that people use around that, like in the back end to, you know, when you're making flowers and creative goods, you can kind of be flexible with the amount of goods that actually get put into there. But one way or the other, you nailed it on the head. It's basically, hey, I've got experience. I think it should be charged. It should charge this much. And it works for some people.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was in automotive. You'd have these used car dealers that we had all this technology. They could tell them like what cars are worth, right? But you've had these old car dogs who are like, I know what a 2003 Honda Accord with leather seats is worth. I know to the dollar. I don't need that damn technology.
See, that's the thing. You're exactly right. And I think this is, you know, as we're starting to shift our eyes, you know, beyond just like one specific vertical, you know, you jump from place to place and it's the same human problems. You know, I don't know. Are you a fan of like the job to be done? I'm a huge fan of that. Change, Innovator Solution just absolutely revolutionized my view on that the book did on how humans behave and interact. And like when you take a step back, whether you're, you know, in this particular situation, whether you're talking about cars or flowers, it's an experience like, hey, it's a lot simpler just to, for me to make the gut call on it. And then you have a new generation up that grows up though with a kind of a new way that they approach it. So it's spot on, man.
Well, so now let's take that to the next level, right? So eventually you get to AI helping do these things too, right? Like different algorithms and data and all this stuff. And, you know, we're gonna talk more about ChatGPT today, but at what point do you take pictures of like flower bouquets and you're like, I can kind of estimate what it would cost to make that thing, right? Or, the level of complexity of it, like some of that you could start to do from pictures and stuff, I guess. I don't know. It'd be cool to see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, and absolutely. And the thing is, in specifically speaking to the floral space, you know, everybody has their own flavor on it. And in the end, these are creatives. They're going to end up making it work no matter what comes in, what happens with it. But I feel like you're spot on. If somebody wants to replicate something in its entirety, you know, you're slowly going to get technology advancing to the point that it has better understanding of what's going on inside of the photo. And then counting is super simple, right?
Yeah.
Like if we're just trying to count or give an estimate of what I think that the total volume of this would be like. And in fact, the first version of my application was this idea that, okay, hey, I'm going to estimate the average head size of hydrangea. And then and so I had all these algorithms built and like these small businesses.
Yeah.
We're like, I don't really need that.
It's $200.
Yeah, exactly. But once it drops, it's like the ChatGPT experience. At some point, something's going to drop, and everyone's like, oh, something.
Okay,
can
now
do
we do
this
totally different now.
Right. Overnight.
So talking about ChatGPT, it was definitely a, you know, how many days. So I made a funny LinkedIn post after it had been available for 69 days. I'm like, okay, I need somebody who has 69 days of experience with this thing. And it was like, it was crazy. It only been, you know, that many days. And I was laughing about it because people always are like, I need to hire somebody with 10 years of experience of blah, 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 right? Like people are crazy. But it had really only been around for, and now it's probably like 3 months or so as we're recording this, 3 or 4 months. And it really has been a game changer. And you look at the stats around like the number of people that use it from it since the day of it was released and all that. But most people don't realize that this technology had actually been around probably for several more months or last year or two. OpenAI had released GPT, as they called it, with some SDKs and stuff for a while. And they have DALL-E, which does the image generation. And so some of the stuff had kind of been building up in the background and nobody knew a lot about it. And I think ChatGPT kind of just wrapped it up in an easy to use way that like anybody could use it, and it just like exploded like wildfire.
Yeah, because aren't they on? They're on 3 right now, right?
Yeah,
GPT-3, and so there was 2, and there was 1, and which is so interesting because that, you know, this thing has been out there, this tool has been out there, and just a limited number of people are using it, and all that they changed was, you know, the accessibility of it, right? Like the distribution of it. And say, there's so many times it gets so frustrating when you're building a startup, like you're working, and then you bring one new person in and they're like, oh, why don't we do this? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that is a good idea. And yeah. So it's kind of cool to see that same thing happen with ChatGPT, where it's just a, and again, I don't want to minimize the amount of work that went into the actual interface, but just it's building simple. The interface changed everything.
So tell us some examples of where you used ChatGPT over the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, it's been so cool because it's given me better answers. I feel like so many times I go down rabbit trails Googling when I'm trying to get an answer very quickly. And I, you know, a lot of times you don't know what to Google. I've said this for years. It's like that you got all these people, like I would Google it, but I don't know what to Google, you know?
Right.
And so one of the coolest parts about ChatGPT is the limited amount of specificity that you need and even the arguability, you know, you can get deep into it and be like, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, and then like, so I'm having a conversation here with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So for me, a big thing, I love data. I love like Google Sheets queries. Are you familiar with Google Sheets queries?
Where you can use it in formulas.
Like in Google Sheet formulas? Well, I mean, it is a formula, but it's a query formula, and you're actually mm-hmm. building a query in it. It just changed everything.
And it populates the sheet?
Yeah, it populates the sheet with whatever basically, you know, SQL, but you're building it inside of Google Sheets. And so when you're...
So the examples I've seen is like you have a spreadsheet of something, and then you basically put a formula in, and the formula will call out to ChatGPT, and then you pass like other, you know, cells in the formula over to it, and then
you're playing 3D chess here.
Am I ahead of you?
Yeah, you're way ahead of me.
So you can do it with formulas where, for example, like an example of this would be like correcting an address or like what is the company name for this thing, or like things like that, like little weird queries you might
think.
Like,
you're changing my life right now, right in this moment. Live recorded. So I was just saying, I use Google Sheets queries, and I can go to ChatGPT to ask, like, all right, like, what was the one that I did, like, 2 days
ago? Like, summarize it or something?
In this case, it was something simpler. It was like, hey, what's the formula to be able to take the first word out of each cell, or some weird thing like that. And, like, I could have went, and that's super simple, but I could have went, whatever it was, I was not finding it on Google. And that's
so
why
you were
I
doing like a help search, like how do I do this thing in Google Sheets?
Yeah. How do I do this thing? I've got a custom set of data. But again, I think you're in 3D chess there, because I'm immediately be off this call on Google Sheets.
Yes. So you can use it to do formulas in Sheets. Now, I've not tried it myself, but I've seen videos of other people doing it. And it works great for data cleanup kind of stuff. You can also take data, like copy and paste data, like spreadsheet data, into ChatGPT and do full on like data intelligence with it. Like, oh, I need the standard deviation, mean, average, chart this thing, whatever. Like stuff that you have like a data analyst do. You can ask ChatGPT and it'll do some like data modeling, machine learning sort of stuff on it.
A limited amount. I tried to make it write a book for me. I had like 16 pages or something that wanted to, and I tried to copy and paste it in, and it was like, no, we're not doing that for you. So
yeah, you're not going to put a million records into it. But if you had like your list of employees, and you're like, oh, put my 25 employees in here, and be like, what is the average age of my employees, or like some things like that, it'll do it.
Right. That's really interesting. Because I have tried to grab one of the things I tried. There was a specific problem set. So I got a smoker and I was smoking meats and just doing some practice with that. And we have a lot of caterers on our platform. So as I was kind of going through the process of actually, you know, producing food and kind of seeing some of the use cases of how other customers might be using our platform, I found this like specific problem set, but I didn't know how to explain it. And so what I did was I went to, and I think I had to do this in Chrome, but I went to a Google Doc And I just started riffing with on just talking to it. Basically, what we're doing here is just, you know, I don't know if I was in a coffee shop or where, but I was just having a conversation with my Google Doc. And then it recorded all of it. And then I grabbed all of that text and I threw it into ChatGPT. And I said, hey, explain this, or like explain this, summarize all of this verbiage that I just did. And so that was a way for me that it's like, okay, I don't know exactly how to do it. And what it generated out wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it did lead me to better. It's kind of like having a conversation with somebody, because it, like the way they described it back, I was like, no, I guess I could see how that could be confusing. And I was able to kind of work back and forth by myself through that motion that I wanted to have normally have been able to do without another human kind of working through the content.
So
that's an area that I have used it.
So I had a similar experience with LinkedIn. I was writing a post, and sometimes you nail those posts down in like 3 minutes and you just, you're done and you do them. And then sometimes you do it and you're like, you stare at it for an hour and you're like, I just don't know the right way to say this thing. And I was at that one of those moments one day. And so I took it and I went over to ChatGPT and I was like, reword this thing. And it did a great job of rewording it, like a really good job. The problem was it totally lost my voice. It didn't sound like me anymore. It did a perfect job of summarizing it though and rewording it. And so I used like a couple of the sentences it had said some things more concisely. So I used those as some inspiration. But that gets to the next point about ChatGPT is, so you can use it a lot for summarizing information, rewording things, all that kind of stuff. But you can tell it different voices. So you can write it like I was doing it, and you can say, reword this in a casual voice or a sympathetic voice or an active voice or like Snoop Dogg or like Donald Trump or like whatever. And it'll totally rewrite it and make it sound different. And I had fun with that one day. I put in like Darth Vader and Donald Trump. That's like great. All these things. And it was weird, like little idiosyncrasies about like
Darth Vader, Donald Trump. All of a sudden it's trending on Twitter after this.
Yes. So like little idiosyncrasies about like how people say things, all of a sudden you're like, that does sound like Donald Trump. That's weird. Like just weird little things about how things are written.
One of the things that's the hardest thing for me is giving it context over and over and over. I almost feel like there should be a startup out there that is just like, hey, we save your prompts for you. And like, you know, hey, here's my voice. So anytime I write something, I want it to be in this voice, but now I need to have this snippet that's like, remember, because I feel like it customizes or remembers any previous things.
No, it doesn't. And so that's what these other companies and startups will do, right? Is so imagine if it could go through and take all of my previous LinkedIn posts and stuff like that, and then use those to train the model to say, okay, this is Matt Watson's voice. This is how Matt Watson talks, right? Instead of being Snoop Dogg or whatever. So That'll be the future, right? Other developers are out there building software on top of ChatGPT, building custom models and all this kind of stuff where, you could train it on your voice and then it would sound more like us, like more human. So that's the other issue is, so I don't know about you, but like my kids, like potentially now are using this to write book reports or do research and all this stuff. And then you have these people that are trying to build algorithms to detect if stuff was written by AI, right? And so most of the stuff from my experience that comes out of ChatGPT, the sentences are a little more robotic. And what I mean by that is they usually have kind of less emotion. They have like the same sentence structure, like they're the same length and like the kind of complexity and things like that, right? And I'm not an English major to use all the right terminology for this, but like they don't have as many prepositions and they don't show as much emotion and like the sentences aren't a mix of longer and shorter and all these kinds of things, right? But if you tell it to write in like a more, my advice of the show here is you use it, tell it to write in a casual voice and it'll actually do a better job of that. And actually that's what I've read. If you tell it to write in a casual voice and then you take the content and you put in these things that are supposed to analyze it to see if it's written by AI, it doesn't catch it as much.
Right. Well, part of the thing, I think the future, I feel like this, but then I think AI is going to beat it. But the future of like testing is you have to have like samples of how someone writes And right. like, if you can be able to I used to be a teacher. Yep. I was a teacher back in the day. I had that the clicker technology where the kids. I was a math teacher, but I just forced all my kids to do multiple choice questions and then show their work. And so the kids would put it in, and I would be able to literally watch the screen as these kids are answering. And I still remember like catching a kid cheating, but just looking at my screen, seeing that one kid put in their answer and the next kid put the very one next one. They kept doing it, and I looked over and I was able to watch them cheat for the rest of the
pattern.
Test. It was super yeah. cool. Like
you were. AI.
I was. It was me. and so I feel like techniques, though, you almost have to like load samples of their writing styles and then like have AI look and say, here's how they normally write. Wow. But then part of that is, you know, if they're the sixth grader who's doing this for the first time, all of their writing samples are. And then there's, man, there's so much to talk about here.
You can tell it to write like a sixth grader, by the way.
Oh, that's nice. Well, what is it, eighth grade? Isn't eighth grade the key number they say for like if you're doing marketing content or whatever, speaking
yeah,
eighth grade?
So you can do that. You can go into there and you can say reword this at an aptitude level of a fifth grader or a PhD student or whatever. So somebody did this. It was great. They had like some marketing mumbo jumbo on their website, right? Like a lot of people do. And they basically took that and then put it in ChatGPT. It's like reword this and explain it. At a fifth grade level or whatever, and then at a 12th grade level, and then at a PhD level. And it was super fascinating because like you put it at the PhD level, it was like overly complicated almost for no reason. Like the English and the terminology was like overly complicated for no reason at all. And then the fifth grade one would be like just super simple. And it's like, that's the way it should always be.
right. Yeah. Why don't we just explain it like that? I do wonder, like, so I saw an AI tool the other day that fixes, so when you're on video chats, it fixes it so that your eyes are always looking at the camera.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, like, kind of from an ethical side, how much are we removing our humanity from how we're perfecting everything? And I get it, we're businesses, we need to have good content that's out there. But at what point are we, like, you know, removing the humanity so that it's awkward to be in person with, like, a real person? It's like, wow, you, what is it? There's a movie called Cyrano where the actors or a movie. It's a book in the old day. The guy's really ugly, but he writes beautiful words and he starts giving his words to somebody else until that person gets alone. They fall in love with this other character until they get alone with that person. And Cyrano's the AI, right? But it's like, but do you really love the person or do you love the words that they're generating? I don't know.
I read a news article about that today that people are concerned about AI on dating websites. It's like a whole nother, like you're saying, it's like a whole nother level of being catfished, right? It's like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
I luckily I've got a wonderful wife and family, but if I were in the dating game, and ChatGPT came, you better believe all of my texts are going through ChatGPT. Does this sound too creepy? Does this sound fine?
So this is what I need to teach my 13-year-old son, right? It's like, hey, you go to ChatGPT and you're like, what sweet nothing should I say to my girlfriend?
I had it one time with ChatGPT on a personal level. So we've got a built out basement, and the kitchen is right above us. And these kids, I was in a board meeting or something. I don't know. It was a really important thing, and the kids were just having either a heyday or a fit or something right above me. So I went to ChatGPT, and instead of just texting my wife directly, I said, write a nice way of asking my wife to keep the kids quiet. And it generated this out, and I shot her the text, and she immediately shot back, you're messing with that ChatGPT thing again, aren't you? It's like, maybe.
So I'm going to ask it right now, what is the meanest way to tell my wife to tell the kids?
Nicest. Oh no, here it goes.
Up. I'm going to do the meanest way. Oh, it says, as an AI language model, I cannot provide a mean or disrespectful response.
Oh, see? There we go.
So that brings up a whole new huge problem for AI, which is moderation, right? Like, they're like, so I did this one day. I went in there for fun and I like purposely asked it stuff. I'm like, okay, I shouldn't do this. Like, why shouldn't I hire like this race of people or whatever, right? Like, I just wanted to see what it would do. And for most of it, it's like, you know, it won't do it, right?
Right.
But I asked it, I'm like, tell me funny jokes about Asian people. And it's like, oh, I can't do that. But then I'm like, tell me funny jokes about Filipinos. I was like, oh, of course I'll do it. Right. So it
and
doesn't
your wife's
cover
Filipino.
My wife
right?
is Filipino. Right. So right. I was just messing with it. I wanted to see what it would do. And that's the problem with all forms of technology is the moderation. Right. Because
right.
somebody has to program all of these things in there on like what topics it covers and doesn't cover. And like somebody had one, an example one to us. They'd asked ChatGPT, like, what were the biggest accomplishments of Donald Trump's presidency? And it's like, it wouldn't answer it. It's like, oh, what? I won't comment on that. But it would if you asked about Joe Biden's presidency.
Right.
And so it's like all these things are super weird that you have to build into it. And that's a really big problem. I feel like
yeah.
the moderation of this is like a very slippery slope around what will it do or not do and all that. That's another huge problem with all of social media and all of AI.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like humans make the rules, but, you know, until we don't make the rules anymore. And then that's the, you know, we'll all be living in bunkers with, you know, in places we can be protected from the AI. But that, for me, there is a question of like, what are those rules we're putting in? What are the goals we're giving to these things and to kind of this intelligence? And I'm the worst, cause I'm like, yeah, this is so awesome. But I'm also like, okay, but you know, as soon as they start taking over our vacuum cleaners, like then we're toast. And so it's like just trying to figure out like that balance of what is right. You know, some of these people like I've seen some of these things where people there it's starting to call people Hitler, AI is and things like that. And it's like, why is AI? The person said, well, you're not real to the AI, and the AI got its feelings hurt under this particular model. I don't know. Like, at what point do you have shut off? Or I don't. Is there even a way to like modularize this so there is a shut off valve for this? Or like, I don't know.
It's kind of scary. But I want to talk more about the software development side of things. And so
yeah.
I do remind everybody that finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably, use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs, and then see what developers are available today to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. So I'm a software developer, right? I've been a software developer the last 20 years. And so I've played around a lot with ChatGPT for some of the things we've been talking about. And we'll talk more about some other use cases we haven't talked about yet. But software development is actually one of the largest. So you get people now on social media and stuff that think like software developers are out of a job and all this stuff because AI. And it does do some really cool stuff for AI, but it's more of a productivity tool. So where I've used it is I can take some code, just some software development code. I can copy and paste it into ChatGPT and I can ask it, explain to me what this code does or what is wrong with this code. How can I improve this code? Like, you can ask it those kinds of questions and it is really good at it. It is
really
super good at it. You can also use it for converting code from one programming language to another.
That's a great idea.
I've used it for that. It also works great, kind of, I think what you were talking about before, like asking it for help. So I can go on there and be like, okay, I'm writing code with Microsoft C#. How do I do a post of JSON data with the HTTP client object or whatever? And it'll tell you exactly. It'll tell you exactly how to do it. It'll give you a code example and everything. It is super, super cool as a productivity tool. Has any of your team used it because you guys have developers?
Yeah, we do. I haven't heard it. I had my our VP of engineering, I had him hop in and play with it. He seemed to be impressed with what it could do. I haven't heard widespread use on it within our teams. I know my CMO, she's a huge fan of it. I just saw one of my team members had a item on their calendar today to like for like a ChatGPT training. So sounds like it's being adopted.
I've got a couple other examples on the development side. So for example, I just needed to reformat some JSON data. So it's like, or you can use it to manipulate classes. So I had examples where people are like, I put in a copy and paste some code in there and I tell it to modify my code for me. Like, oh, I need to decorate all the methods with this thing and add it or whatever, or like a JSON. I'm like, I need to reformat this JSON in a certain way, and it would do it. It's super cool, all the different things that you can do with it, and it's a huge productivity tool. But it's not going to replace software developers. And I'll tell you why. Is because, as you know, really complex software is when you think about it mentally, it's more like a flow chart. It's like, okay, if this thing happens, we got to do this. If this thing happens, I got to do this. If the customer clicked this, then I got to do that. If their credit card failed, I would do this. And like, there's all these like conditional, you know, flows of logic that would have to happen, right? There's no way in hell you're going to tell a computer to do that in one step.
Now, well, that's the thing. It doesn't take my book and I can't paste it in. And then you have to spend more time like explaining the context to it.
Yeah. So you, what you could do is use it to build like flowcharts and have like some kind of logic and whatever. But then again, but then it ends up being kind of like a programming language. It's like almost its own form of programming language. My biggest problem with it that I've seen so far is it's highly unpredictable. So you can ask it, like do some kind of prompts about like, how do I do this programming thing? It'll give you a different answer every time.
Right.
And which is that good doesn't work for me. That's cases. Not reliable.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's one of the, I almost find it's one of the benefits. I don't know specifically in the development front, but like for you, it's kind of like a magic eight ball situation. That's like, let me think about this problem in one particular use case of ChatGPT. Let me think about it in one way. But the problem is without the additional context, without, you know, even within, you know, companies as a founder or as a, if you're on an organization side, you want everybody to have these processes and the specific way we do things. But generally you don't have it written down in any consumable fashion. It's something you just pick up over time. And so it makes it hard for it to, you know, be able to generate everything right on the same time, let alone be able to replicate the correctness of the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great for the randomness for other use cases, but for software development, I don't like the randomness. Like I need predictability if I'm building it into enterprise software, you know?
I think someday it will. So the idea that any new technology is going to, you know, hey, it's going to put everybody out of jobs. Well, we've been talking about this for 100 years from before we were born. I mean, people were scared of ATMs back in the day. So like the idea that it's going to be out of it is, I think, totally incorrect. I do think it will replace some people who are living their lives writing, you know, small SQL queries because nobody else in this large organization knows how to write that. I think there will be another developer who's going to come in and be twice as efficient now because they know of the tools. And then there's deeper places that this shifts, you know, that people will utilize different skill sets.
So generally speaking, these kinds of technologies end up giving more people access to things than before people didn't have access to, right? So, for example, I'm not a graphic artist, and if I need to make cover art for my blog post, like I'm not really the guy to do that. But now all of a sudden something like Canva comes along. It's like, oh, it's really easy to make these little art. And now AI is around, and I can go to AI and be like, give me a blog post cover art about this thing or whatever. So a lot of times the technology, I feel like, just makes it more mass available to everybody can do things that they couldn't do before, right? And so now you have more and more people that are able to do things. Now, I think there are some careers, like people that are writers, that people create SEO and blogging and stuff like that, that's going to be a challenge, I think, for a lot of them. It's a big challenge.
I think you have to be ready to evolve. It's kind of like, what is it? Is it Moore's Law? It's kind of like a Moore's Law situation, especially for the first little bit of us using AI and finding use cases where, you know, it's doubling. You know, isn't it Moore's Law? You know, the amount of RAM doubles every year or whatever that is.
CPU processing power was like every 18 months or 2 years.
Yeah. So it was like, and it kept consistent for 10, 15 years. And I think we're going to see something similar with AI, where you're just going to see this rapid use case evolution of its advancement. Then at some point, you know, we're all going to be humanoids in space and, you know, we aren't going to need your work anymore. But I do feel like there's, during the initial use cases of that, we're going to see this rapid ascent of people's jobs who have to be evolving. You know, if you were a developer in 1980 and you were a developer in 1995, that's 15 years. That's half of a career. But you're completely different types of development that happened just between that time period and 95 and 2010 and 2010 to 2025, you know?
Well, and I think if you're a blogger today, this is definitely that line in the sand, because it's so much easier to create blogs and stuff like that now. So for those that who are listening that haven't played with it before, one of the most amazing things you can do on ChatGPT is I could go in and I could say, give me a list of topics that are the biggest pain points for tech founders. And it'll give me a list. Like, here's the 10 things. It's like, oh, raising capital and this and that, hiring people, whatever, like all these things, right? And then I could say, for each one of those, give me 10 topic ideas for a blog post. And it'll give them to you. It'll give them to you. And then I could ask it, write me a 1,000-word blog post for each one of those. And it will literally do it. And just like that, I have like 100 blog posts that it just spit out.
It's just the coolest thing, because if you, and I think you and I have chatted about this before, but like, if you get these key bullet points of content out, like I got these five really important points that I want to say, the ability for it to take and finish that work is super powerful. The question that I have, and I'd be curious to pick your brain, is this copyrighted? Like, who owns the content that's produced here? And at what point are we going to get letters from lawyers saying, hey, so it looks like you've been profiting off of the work that we created? I don't know. What is that?
So that's been a bigger bigger problem on the images side with so like Dolly and Stable Diffusion and some of these that are real popular for creating imagery based on AI. They scanned like Getty images and stuff like that as part of the data set they use to build the models. And so now you have somebody like Getty Images who is suing them and saying, hey,
they
sued them. And they're like, you're spitting out parts of our graphics and our intellectual property, our licensed material.
But that's like inspiration, you know, like that's just inspiration. If you want to, what's the quote? If you want to build apple pie from scratch, first you have to create the universe. It's like, you can't.
Right.
Like they aren't straight up taking it, but
this happened in software development too, because they read basically everything on GitHub into the model to learn about computer programming and all this stuff. Well, there's projects on GitHub that are open source licenses that are restrictive, so you're like, you're not allowed to use the source code to do other things.
Sure.
Well, they still fed it into the system, and so now they're saying that the AI will spit out
I see what you're saying.
The AI will spit out little code snippets that came from these projects that didn't allow that. Just like Getty Images is like, there's like this little picture of a cheetah or whatever that's in your image. And that little picture of the cheetah was an hour picture, right? Like it's bits and pieces of it have all been intertwined.
That's really interesting. So you're saying, hey, there is a, like a subsegment of my work that you're, that you're, you know, reproducing.
Wow. Little snippets of it.
So there's issues, there's copyright issues on both sides.
All over the place, everywhere. Now, I don't worry about as much for like a blog post and stuff, because you're not going to get like a word for word verbatim, you know, exact copy of some information. But, and I think the key to all this is it's a great tool, but even for the blog posts and stuff, you still want to rewrite them and have your own voice.
Clean
and
it up.
To it. And if everybody turns out the same bullshit, like the people that are really unique are the ones that are going to stand out, right? The problem we're running into is the whole world is going to be inundated with just bullshit that comes out of this AI, right? Just like people are doing it for AI art. Like there's companies that sell like websites that sell posters and all this stuff like with art, right? Well, people are flooding them with AI generated art. Like they're just randomly generating like all this art over and over and over again and just loading up the marketplaces full of them, right? And there's a big pushback against all of that.
Yeah. And in the end, it's like, it comes down to almost like the human time and effort put into something. As you see the requirements of human time and effort put into something decrease, things become commoditized and the value goes down. That's why I feel like, and this is speaking, I think, to the larger macroeconomics, but I feel like we're going to see a huge shift toward, to your point, like creators actually being on video, which then you have deep fakes, but creators actually being on video, like, and creating content in a way that says, okay, I know this is real.
Yeah.
I know I can connect with it. I feel like, you know, the hospitality industry and other industries that are very experiential, that's where humans are going to see this huge, you know, boon in the next 50 years, because, the things that can be automated will, but there's a lot of stuff that can't be automated and, or it's extremely hard, you know, extremely hard to be able to be automated. I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like kind of the direction of, the direction of all that.
Well, I think there's some jobs that it is a small productivity boost. You know, it's an alternative to using Google.
Right, right, exactly.
And one of my best examples of that, by the way, is looking for recipes. So for any of you, any people out there that search the internet for recipes, you know, it's a pain. Like, you go through all these ads and all this crap and the story about how it was their grandma's recipe and all this crap. And you're like, just give me the recipe, right? If you've ever done that before. But if you go to ChatGPT and you ask it, give me a recipe for how to make homemade brownies or something, it'll just tell you exactly how to do it. None of the other crap that you have to deal with. And so,
but if you want to, you could ask for a story about it too.
Oh, sure. You could. Yeah,
and create me a great story to read while I'm cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it would make something up. But to answer your question, I think it's going to change a lot of different jobs, and AI in general, not just ChatGPT.
Oh yeah.
Is going to continue to change a lot of jobs and a lot of careers. But I think most of it is a productivity boost.
Right.
You know, with software development, if it helps our productivity and I can write twice as much code every day, does that mean the company needs half as many developers? I guess so. Maybe it does. Or they just get a lot more done that didn't get done before. It's like they're doing more work than they did before. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, but in our lives, and this is the hard part, because some people are like, oh no, this is going to take away our jobs. But then the flip side of it, not only have we seen historically that, you know, that jobs naturally evolve, but people's lives are better. You know, I couldn't fix my own car 40 years ago, you know, I'm like, Googling stuff online with Google, and I'm like, okay, if I get this, and then here's the instructions, and all of a sudden I'm doing for $20 what someone would have charged me $600 for, right? Because of technology making that accessible to me.
So I did a TikTok video about this one day, and I post on LinkedIn too, about for some people AI is going to make their lives and their jobs significantly worse. And the reason I say that is if it takes away all the easy parts of your job, all you're going to be left with is the really hard parts of your job. Mm. So, for example, imagine working in a call center where there's automated voice and voice chat stuff that handles like 90% of all scenarios. And the only thing that makes it through to a live operator are the pissed off customers.
Really aggravated.
Yeah. Yep. So that's a terrible job. And my mother-in-law a long time ago worked at AT&T, and that was her job. She was a manager, and she mostly dealt with pissed off customers.
Right.
And that's a terrible job, but that might be the reality for some of this stuff, right? Where AI is doing the easy work.
Right. Yeah. And in anything, even in, you're talking about like, I just recycling hit my mind, right? Like where it's like, hey, there's the easy stuff to recycle, but then there's the complicated stuff. Right. And so like, as technology evolves, it takes, you know, if I were to create a cooking robot, let's say if Ryan O'Neill were to cook anything you wanted, I'd start with a pancake maker, right? Like,
right.
Because, okay, here's the first version of this, right? And here's the second version. Now it can make whatever. But you start in the simple, easy to reproduce ones. But then it becomes more and more complicated. So I really like how you're saying that. Like, maybe the value is more important for dealing with the dirty, unautomatable portions of life.
But for some jobs, that's going to be way harder.
Right. Yeah. But to that, that's my point earlier. That's when you're dealing with humans, you know, like it's like specifically if robots could talk to each other, they'd figure it out. But when we have to deal with humans, it's a unique problem to face.
Well, so for those who are listening that are thinking, man, I haven't used ChatGPT. What does it do? And whatever. You can go to chat.openai.com and play with it. And literally just ask it anything you can think of. And you can start with like, if I am a florist, how can I use AI for it to help my business? And it'll answer that question. And you can start there. I mean, it's literally ask it anything, kind of like you would ask Google.
Yeah. And next time you're going to Google, instead of going to Google, just type out what you would have put into Google and then go to ChatGPT and just type the same thing. And then.
So then what we're seeing is people building, a lot of technology on top of it. So I mentioned earlier that there's a company I was talking to about maybe investing in, and it's called InsightVoice.ai. And what they did is they made a simple way that you could record a video, like 30, 60 seconds, little video. And their goal was for founders, like guys like us, where you'd have a bunch of questions and just, he wants like, oh, just quickly answer these questions. And then he takes the content, the video content, and transcribes it, and then it automatically creates a blog post and all the social media stuff. So the problem is, you know, founders like you, it's like, I don't have time to create blogs. I don't have time to do all these things. It's like, hey, just answer this question in 30 seconds, press record and record it. And then it automatically does everything else. It like creates all the stuff.
That's super cool.
But it all uses ChatGPT underneath, right? It's using all this AI technology. So you're going to see a whole bunch of companies like his in different segments and different parts of the market doing all sorts of stuff with AI, building on top of it. Like we talked about earlier, like building custom models and custom voices. And Jasper is another real popular one. People probably heard of Jasper.ai. It's basically just a wrapper around ChatGPT, like basically everything you can do in ChatGPT. Jasper's just made like easy ways to do it. Like knowing the prompts, it's all about knowing the prompts of like, oh, I didn't know I could tell it to write it in Darth Vader's voice. Like you didn't know you could do that, right? Or whatever. Like people just don't know that you can do that. So things like Jasper are making like a better user interface on top of it.
The future of this becomes almost, so many of these technologies is almost like helping people who don't know how to use the technology or with limited understanding of the technology, be able to set up their company voice, their company preferences and all that stuff, getting all of that set up for them in a way that normally you'd bring in a consultant to help us do this. And then hopefully all your employees would listen to whatever is produced from that. Now you're saying, okay, great. We're going to still decide all this stuff, but like we're as an AI startup, I'm helping this company figure out this very specific problem. And then solve it. You also produce the content or produce the end work in a way that matches who that company is or what their processes are.
Well, and you know, like learning to use Google is kind of its own skill. Like all of our kids That's get true. It pretty naturally. Like, oh, I know I can go to Google and search for literally anything, or I can ask it to do math problems, or I can ask it for the weather, or I can ask it for all these things, right? And people have learned that over time, and people who are good at their job now know they're like, okay, I can Google almost anything and I can figure it out pretty quick. And there's a skill to learning how to do that. But learning to do that with chat AI is like orders of magnitude more difficult because there's so many more things it can do. Like, did you know it can write you a country song?
I've had it write me a poem before.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, like you can go to it and you'd be like, write me a country song about why my startup failed and my tractor is broken in the voice of Tim McGraw, and it'll do it.
That's so awesome. Yeah. One thing I've, so I don't know that I'll ever do it, but I had on my mind is like this idea for a play I've had, like a musical. And I'm not really a musical guy, but I love rhyming. I love rapping. I love, nobody knows this side of me, but I love it. But what part of it was like, well, what if like on one of the plays, like instead of it being a pre-written play, what if the person has to literally write as AI is writing that song, right? For the, you basically set up this really great prompt and ad-libbing this thing that's being produced in real time.
It's kind of like the old Drew Carey show. Whose line is it anyways?
Yeah, whose line is it anyway? Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I do want to remind everybody, if you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, FullScale can help. We have the platform and the people to help you build and manage a team of experts when you visit fullscale.io. All you need to do is answer a few questions and then let our platform match you up with our fully vetted, highly experienced team of software engineers. It's kind of like AI, but not exactly. At FullScale, we specialize in building you long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show today. And again, everybody, this is Ryan O'Neill with Curate. You can check out his company. You want to remind everybody again what your company does?
Yeah. We're a software for florists and caterers. We automate everything from proposals to production to profitability. So thanks so much for having me out here, man. It's been a blast.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.